message in our series on the fruit of the Spirit. This is week 10. This has been a long series. And gratefulness, you may remember, is not actually listed in the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, if we can pull that up. You can see that that's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But they're easy, right? We've got those down, so we thought we'd throw in this bonus fruit, because you've got those already, right? You can laugh a little, come on. I don't have those down, but we did want to talk about gratefulness as we move into thinking about Thanksgiving. And also because, obviously, this is not an exhaustive list. This is not meant to be, you get these nine and you're done. There's lots of other things that we're exhorted to in Scripture, things like humility and purity and generosity and a whole bunch of other things that we're called to. And in fact, there are a couple of other lists like the one in Galatians 5 in Scripture. For example, 2 Peter, we read a similar kind of list with a few different elements. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. So we see some of the same characteristics that we had in Galatians 5 and a few others mixed in. But again, this ends with love. Love is kind of the ultimate one. It kind of builds up to love. Love is kind of the epitome of these godly characteristics. There's another list in Colossians that goes like this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So again, ending with love. Love is this ultimate virtue or characteristic that we're called to. And of course, that's how we started this series 10 weeks ago, looking at love. Love as the root of all of the other fruits. Love is the cause, God's incredible, unconditional, boundless love for us enables us to love God and to love ourselves and to love others, and so demonstrate some of these other fruit of the Spirit. Love is also the end result. Love is the goal. All of these fruit reflect the fact that we are in Christ. We are one with God. We're one with God's Spirit, God's love, the God who is love. So it's all leading to love, and love that we are asked to share with one another, to share with other people in our families, in our communities, in our workplaces. So it's all about love. And this passage in Colossians continues like this. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So Paul goes on, Paul who's writing this in his letter, starts with the call to peace, which we may remember was the love, joy, peace, third of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. And then he says, be thankful, sing to God with gratitude in your hearts, and give thanks to God the Father through the Lord Jesus. So three times we're told to give thanks and to be grateful. And those two words, to give thanks and to be grateful, are pretty much interchangeable in the Greek. You see those two words used to mean each other, as I think they are really in English. Thankfulness and gratefulness or gratitude are very tightly connected. Is that rain? Wind? Oh, wow. It's the wind of the Spirit. No, it's not. Throw me. So gratefulness, yes. So we can maybe think that thankfulness is maybe more of an outward expression of gratefulness or gratitude that's more internal. But those two words are very, very much reflect the same kind of attitude. And the word for give thanks in the Greek is eucharistio, from which we get the word Eucharist, which is the fancy word for communion, taking the bread and the wine to remember what God did through us through Jesus. So that means to give thanks. And that word, Eucharistio, is used a lot. It's used about 37 times. It's not about. It's used 37 times in the New Testament. And in fact, in the Bible as a whole, we are exhorted or commanded to give thanks round about 70 times, depending on which translation you use. And there are countless other verses about thankfulness and gratitude and thanksgiving and so on. So giving thanks is really important. It's kind of central to Scripture. Somebody said, giving thanks is not just good manners, it's good spirituality. I think that's true. From the earliest age, we teach our kids to say please and thank you. But you've probably, like me, had that experience of talking to an older kid and you know, giving them something, or they've received something, and you say, what do you say? And they say, thank you. Like, has anybody had that experience? Please say yes. Please say it's not just my kids. Okay, thank you. Okay, so and they're saying the right words, but you know they're not feeling grateful, right? They're not really feeling thankful. Because it's something from within. It's a recognition that we are blessed, that we have reason to be thankful. It's much more than the words. It's something internal that spills out into words, but it's not just the words themselves. And I think that's really important, because today I'm going to say a number of times that being grateful is a choice. And I think it is a choice, and I'll explain why I think it's a choice. But I think it's more than a choice. I think it is an attitude within that is something that God does, that God's spirit within us produces within us. As we surrender to God, as we draw close to God, it's something that God does within us, a force that's bigger than ourselves, bigger than our circumstances. And that gratefulness can be very transformative of ourselves and of the people around us. There are lots of reasons we should be grateful. Firstly, it makes us happier. One of my favorite English writers, G.K. Chesterton, wrote this: I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. Intentionally being grateful, whether that's making a list at the end of the day or, you know, looking for things during the day to be thankful for, has been shown to increase people's happiness. It changes our perspective. It gets us focusing on the things that make us hopeful and happy, and so we feel more hopeful and happy. We have a slide of it. This is a graph, and it's from the internet, so obviously it's true that if you keep a gratitude journal, it will make you happier. I'm not going to guarantee that, but I would challenge you, if you're not completely convinced by that wonderful graph that looks very scientific to me, that you give it a try. Because if you try to look for those things for which give us joy, the things that are blessings to us, I think you will notice a difference. I've certainly noticed a difference when I've done that. So we can decide to focus on those things that are beautiful and lovely and true in our lives. Paul wrote about this in the book of Philippians, so in his letter to the Philippians. Paul at the time was imprisoned. He was ultimately facing a death sentence at the hands of an oppressive regime, occupying force. And this is what he wrote: finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I think this is a choice aspect of gratefulness. A French author wrote a book called A Tour Around My Garden, in which he noted the following: some people grumble that roses have thorns. I am grateful that thorns have roses. Now, while that sounds a little bit like a Hallmark card or something that you might get printed on the inside of a chocolate wrapper, if you eat Dove chocolate, which I do, I still think it's true. I think there is some truth in that. As we choose to practice gratefulness, we allow God to work in us, and we begin to more naturally see things to be grateful for. I think we become more present to what's around us, and as we start to make that choice, it becomes almost more of second nature to us to be looking for those things to be grateful. It creates something of a virtuous cycle. But gratefulness does more than just make us happy. It opens us up to God. We read in Psalm 100, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving. This, of course, was literally, you know, that people, as they went into the temple, should be singing songs of praise and thanksgiving. But it's also metaphorical. Thanksgiving, gratefulness, shift our focus from beyond ourselves We realize that we're blessed, by a God who loves us, that cherishes us. We stop thinking about the things that we don't have or the things that make us unhappy or anxious. And we become aware of all that God is to us and all God has given to us. And that opens us up to God, and it opens us up to other people. As we feel that, as we internalize that, we want to reach out and bless other people. And we have great power to bless other people. Expressing genuine thanks and appreciation for people can be a very powerful thing. We live in a society that is very critical and very negative, and I think we absorb a lot of negative messages. And some of us are very critical people. I will say that for me, I'm very quick to criticize. And that doesn't just go to other people, but to ourselves too. We can be very self-critical. I think one danger of a series like this is that we can spend 10 weeks thinking of all the ways that we fall short, right? Hopefully that's not been your experience. But certainly over this last week, I've become very painfully aware of the many ways that I don't live up to the fruit of the Spirit. But having someone express ways that they've seen God working in our lives or things that they appreciate about what we've done or said, those things can be very powerful. And we're actually going to have an opportunity to do some of that in the response time where we can encourage one another with things that we're grateful that God is doing through them and in them. So gratitude, I think, is powerful. I also think it's contagious. It changes the atmosphere. We probably all know someone who's the reverse of that, right? A Debbie Downer, if you remember that character from Saturday Night Live. Someone who can see the negative in everything. If you've met anyone like that, that can be very contagious. It brings people down very quickly. But I think the good news is that gratefulness is also, I think, equally contagious. We have a game that I used to play with my kids when they were very little, and getting whiny and, you know, kind of just out of sorts. We play the gratefulness game, and often they start with, like, I'm not thankful for anything, you know, and usually, and I'd say, well, I'm really grateful for dinosaurs. They're really cool. Okay, dinosaurs are cool. You know, and we'd go on for a little bit. I'm grateful for seashells. Oh, yeah, seashells are very cool. And they would get into it, and they'd be like, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful. You couldn't have more than one food or more than one toy or more than one person. But you got to name three things. And very quickly, they'd say, I want more than three. Can I have more than three things to be grateful for? So it was kind of a nice game. It made us grateful. And I actually have a teenager and a preteen now, tried to see if it still worked. And it did still work, and they still wanted more than three, but dinosaurs didn't come up. They didn't make the list, but there was still... It is a contagious thing, gratitude. And maybe you've seen on Facebook sometimes there's a gratitude challenge where you have to... Lots of different versions of this, but where you have to list, you know, 10 things or something that you're grateful for 10 days or whatever. And especially if you can't repeat something that someone else has put, people can get quite creative. And as you're reading the list, you think, oh, I hadn't thought of that, but I'm grateful for that too. So gratefulness is contagious. So if it's contagious and it makes us happy, why aren't we all so much more grateful than we are? I think there are some toxic attitudes in our culture that can destroy gratitude very quickly if we allow them to. I'm not going to go through them in any detail. I think they're pretty obvious. But here they are. Entitlement, that feeling that everything I have is owed to me. I've got nothing to be grateful for because I deserve it and more. Or arrogance, everything I have is because I earned it. So I don't need to be grateful, I need to kind of jealously guard what I have. Or resentment, I don't deserve what I've got, I deserve more, I deserve better. Or jealousy, I want what other people have. Or self-pity, I don't deserve misfortune, it's not fair, why me? Now these are things I think are very clear and obvious that we want to avoid these. But the last one, self-pity, kind of resonated with me because it brings to mind the fact that life isn't fair. We don't deserve misfortune, yet things do happen that are pretty horrible, that bring grief, that bring anxiety. Tragic things happen. So, you know, how do we be grateful in those kind of circumstances? Paul also wrote a letter to the people in Thessalonica and wrote, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. How do you do that? How can you be thankful when things are not going well? without just being in denial or being very inauthentic? How do you do that? Well, I don't feel particularly qualified to talk about that because, to be honest, my life is going pretty well and it should be easy for me to be grateful. I'm not saying it always is, but it should be. So I've invited a very dear friend of mine and a friend of many of us to come and talk to us about this because this is someone who I have learned so much about gratefulness and thankfulness. And where is she? Oh, she's there. Ooh, I got worried then. Heidi Manson. So please give Heidi a round of applause.
So you can sorry.
So Heidi, I have learned so much about being grateful from you. For one thing, you have the most amazing smile. I've lost my notes. Oh my goodness. That would be a disaster. You have an amazing smile. And you are incredibly thankful and grateful, and you're always kind of making comments about, oh, this is great, blah, blah, blah. And yet I know that you're going through a really hard situation. So for those who don't know you so well, can you maybe tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're going through right now?
Sure. I'm Heidi Manson. I know almost all of you, so you probably know this, but a lot of people don't actually know everything about me. But I have multiple sclerosis. I was officially diagnosed back in 2010 when I was 43. Don't do the math. And we had, but I've probably had it since I was a child. Looking back in the various things in my life have shown, I had a relapse. I have a version of relapsing remitting MS, which means that you get a symptom and then it cures itself, it goes away. You get another symptom that's totally seems random and has nothing to do with the previous one, so it doesn't get diagnosed very easily. So over the years, I had lots of things, and usually the symptoms are something that you can explain by, well, you just had twins, of course you're tired. You just had twins, you did this. I mean, your body does things anyone else would have a normal problem with, so you don't always catch it. So they diagnosed me in 2010. Recently, in the last year or two, I think I've moved on from the relapsing remitting to more the progressive stage of it. So the disease is getting worse. It doesn't get always better with treatment, but I go up and down. So.
Now, I would think that that would lead to bitterness, to resentment, to self-pity, and yet those are not how I see you, how, you know, you don't display those characteristics. How do you stay so positive? Do you feel that you are positive, and how do you manage that?
I'm positive most of the time. It's something I've practiced all throughout my life. It is something you practice. It is something that you can, it's very easy, especially in a progressive disease, to look back and get into a stage where you start going, oh, poor me. But I find when I get that way, I try to turn it around as quick as I can because it can get deep and I don't want to go there. So I oftentimes things will come up, like Facebook sends me a photo of something that happened 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, and it'll be a photo of our family roller skating or our family skiing, our family dancing, things that have that we've done that has been fabulous and fun together. And it reminds me, at first I can go, oh, I can't do this anymore. It's something that I can no longer do and I can feel bad. But really I realize it's something, each of those memories are so amazing. There's something that I want to be continuing to do amazing memories for 2 years from now. I want to look back and go, that was amazing, that's cool. So it makes me live now and try to do more today, so that I can keep Kate making those memories. So I make a point of let's do what we can today, do it however we can, and so that I can have those amazing memories to look back on. So,
what would you say to anyone who is struggling to be positive and to feel thankful with whatever's going on in terms of grief, anxiety, whatever their issues are right now? Do you have any practical advice, anything that's helpful to you?
There's the big things you look at, that you look at, that everybody says, oh, I'm grateful for my kids, my husband, my, you know, whatever is great. But I think as sometimes those just become things you just say, you're grateful for them for sure. But if you can find something smaller that reminds you more often during the day that you have something to be grateful for. I find those little things get me through the day much faster. It makes me celebrate each day. So, I have problems standing up, and so I walk myself through a kind of a series. As I stand up slowly, and but when I get done and I'm standing, I'm like, I always say yay, because it's like, yay, I made it there. And so I'm grateful every time I stand up that I'm able to stand up. Someday that might not be true, but so I love the fact that I can now. So
made that into a kind of a body prayer, right?
Yes, I did.
And
yeah.
Would you be willing to be really brave and share that with us?
Yeah,
can
sure.
we do that together and stand
So gratitude? I'd like everybody to stay sitting. Make sure your feet are clear where you're, because I want to have you all put your feet down. So we'll do this as like a prayer. If you'd like, first, I'll walk you through what we're kind of, we'll stretch a little bit, we'll breathe a little bit, and then we'll stand up slowly. But I would like you to stand up very slowly and intentionally and think about how you're feeling as you're doing it. And before we get all fully stand up, I'll tell you how to do the last part so that we can get to the yay. So shut your eyes and let's take a deep breath and breathe in deep God's love and breathe out any regrets or anxiety you have. Then breathe back in God's hope for you. Breathe out any worries you have of your future. So now start slowly, one by one, 1 foot at a time, stretching, just extend it out and move your foot and wiggle it and stretch it. And you'll probably feel, many of you, this will feel great because you haven't been moving for a while. So stretching your foot, stretching your other foot, you'll feel how good those muscles feel to move again, to stretch. Some of you, though, will be more like me where those muscles are tight and they're not happy when you stretch them, so you have a little bit of pain. Ask God to help you push that pain down. Move your feet back to the floor and push that pain down into the floor. Your ankles, your joints, it's not necessarily muscles, but your joints might maybe be arthritic. Just push that pain away. And now if you can start very slowly to rise up and stand unbending all your legs, you feel the muscles and the strength. Again, have God help you with the pain if you have it. Be grateful for the wonderful way your legs feel if they do. The last part is always the hardest for me. I'm always a little bent at the hips, and my shoulders are basically over my toes. So if you can assume that position with me, you feel the weight of your body in this position. It weighs you down. It's really hard sometimes to bear. The back has pain. The thighs have pain when you're in this position. This position reminds me, though, of also other worries and things that you have that God can help you with. God wants you to have him turn over, take the yoke of whatever burdens you're carrying and pass it to him. So as you pass that yoke in your mind, pull your shoulders back, lift them up, push with your hips forward, center your body over your feet. Feel how suddenly that weight is out of your back, out of your thighs. God's made us to stand tall and straight and feel good. So now that you've done that, lift your chin, open your eyes, say yay.
Yay.
Yay. And then thanks be to God. So.
Nice. Give Heidi a round of applause.
Thank you.
So we're going to have some time now to respond and to express gratitude. There are lots of different ways that we can do that. One way is we have different stations where you can do that. One way, of course, to express gratitude will be to make a financial offering. Let me say that one again. One thing that we're going to do is these are papier-mâché hearts that are going to make some ornaments for us that we're going to hang. You may remember throughout the series there have been lots of things that we've asked God to take from us, that we wanted to let go, that we wrote on pieces of paper and ripped up. And that has been made by Kate and Amanda and a few other people, thank you so much, into these hearts. And you'll see when you get closer, but they are hearts with gold inside, and they have another heart inside. This will be the same. And this is to illustrate the fact that God takes the yucky stuff that maybe are the things that we identify with ourselves, the things that we wanted to let go. God takes them and transforms them into something beautiful. So I'm going to ask you to come and to help finish these off by just pasting on pieces of tissue paper. And as you do that, think about how God is at work in us, transforming us and making us something beautiful. And also be thankful for the fact that when God looks at us, maybe when we think about ourselves, we think of all the raggediness and the brokenness and all the things that we fail at. But God chooses to look at us with eyes of love and sees us as something beautiful. So really celebrate that there. And then over on this side, we have a number of different things. Is it okay, me wandering around? I don't know. If it starts to squeak, I'll move back. We have coasters. You don't have to do anything with these, but take one. They have prompts for being grateful first thing in the morning. I struggle with that. I am not a morning person. But when you're having your first drink of tea or coffee in the day, there are prompts for that. So take one of those. There are also pages if you want to take this home and do a gratefulness journal, since it's proven to increase happiness. Feel free to do that. And then over at this table, we have a whole bunch of different note cards. And here I'd really encourage you to pick some up and to write notes to other people in our community. Maybe it's people who make the coffee or who teach the kids or just someone whose name you don't even know, but they always have a big smile. Different ways to encourage each other. So please take those and then give them to each other either after the service or during the potluck. And then, of course, we have communion. We have Eucharist. We have the giving thanks, where we give thanks to God for his incredible love for us, his boundless love. You know, communion can mean so many different things. It's so rich in symbolism. But at its very root, it is all about love, God's love for us. And so take it with thanksgiving. Thank God that he looks on us with love, that God sees us through eyes of love and delights in us. Maybe don't take it quite so solemnly with serious looks, but look at each other and smile and give thanks that God loves us as individuals and loves us as a community. And in a few minutes, too, we're going to have some quiet music while we do all these different things, and then we'll sing some songs. And worship, too, as other forms of gratitude, is it's a transformative choice. It's a choice that changes us. It lifts us out of ourselves and focuses us on God and opens us up to God and to God's Spirit working in us. So let's pray together, and then we'll take some time to do these different things, and then we'll come back and sing together. So pray with me the words here. Jesus, you gave us your life so we could walk in light and hope and love. Great God of grace, we thank you. Your eyes of love see beauty in us. Great God of grace, we thank you. For your gift of unconditional love, great God of grace, we thank you. Amen.